It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines in segments one and two. And then David Limbaugh is going to join us. He has a new book out, Guilty by Reason of Insanity, Why the Democrats Must Not Win. And that promises to be a very interesting conversation. So that will be in segments three and four. And as we look at these issues, we look at these issues as freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. And America was founded on freedom. We are freedom people. And it seems that we've been giving up our freedoms incrementally. And force has been taking over. We're seeing the continued socialization of the key things that make our life better, like transportation and education, energy, housing, water, communications, and data. And now that we see what the real agenda is, it is time to take a stand and push back on that. That's why we do this show, is to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends, your family, and colleagues in this great battle of ideas that is raging in America today. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And if it's something's a good idea, it doesn't seem like you should have to force people to do that. So thank you to the team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And thank you to you listeners out there. You're treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence today and take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I really love hearing from you. And so today, our inspiration wisdom is Montesquieu. His full name was Charles-Louis de Sectant. I took 1 year of French, Steve, so I'm going to give this a whirl. Baron de la Bribe et Montesquieu. He lived from 1689 to 1755. He was a French political philosopher whose principal work, The Spirit of Laws, was a major contribution to political theory. He said, in Republican governments, men are all equal. Equal that they are also in despotic governments. In the former, because they are everything. In the latter, because they are nothing. Steve, I mean, I think that's pretty amazing. And those words were spoken by a guy who lived from 1689 to 1755. Do you want me to do that one more time?
Please do.
Okay. In Republican governments, men are all equal. Equal they are also in despotic governments. In the former, because they are everything. In the latter, because they are nothing. Wow.
We had a conversation, a deep conversation in a small group from church recently, and I'm always the first one to jump up and say, human nature, you know, compare it to today's operating system in your computer. The human operating system hasn't changed since day one. And what you get great comments made by that, you know, the guy you just quoted, and saying, well, it was true back in what year did you say?
He lived from 1689 to 1755.
All right. Well, if it's true then and it's still true today, what does that say about the human condition?
And going to the Constitution, because we'll be talking with David Limbaugh about why the Democrats must not win now, because they are stomping all over this. And when I say Democrats, it's the radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. This is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK. And the founders truly understood that human nature is constant. Each generation, each person on a daily basis has to tussle with that good and that evil. And so that's why they put the Constitution into place. And the goal was, when Montesquieu says that in a Republican government, the individual is everything, what's so unique about the American idea is that it was put in place to protect these rights of every individual, of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But in your despotic governments, everybody is equal, but they're equal in misery, Just take a look at what's happening in Venezuela. Everybody is equally miserable. And so that is what is so different between the two. So are you ready for some funnies, though? I was kind of going through Republican government as I was thinking about our quotes. And then also, you know, these radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. So are you ready for the funnies today, Steve?
I am. And you must have hit the jackpot because you, I mean, normally we'll do three, but you got five.
I have five. Okay. You know that you are a radical progressive activist if you think poverty can be abolished with other people's money. Number two, you admire the Swedish welfare system. Number three, you'd rather own Birkenstocks than Merck stock. After looking at your pay stub, you can still say Americans are undertaxed.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. No, what they're saying is that their neighbor is undertaxed. They feel that they're just, you know, and a note on that, Steve, do you remember last year when the new tax laws were going in, and the new tax laws have a limit on the amount of what is it? Was it mortgage interest that could be deducted on homes? So really expensive homes, there was a limit on that. And did you see, I have a picture of the people lined up in Boulder that they wanted to pay their taxes early for 2019 because they were going to be less in 2018 if they paid them in 2019. So it's human nature. People don't want to pay more in taxes. They just want their neighbors to pay more in taxes. But lastly, number five.
This is my favorite.
You know that you are a radical progressive activist when you still own something that says Dukakis for president. And there you have it. Okay, there is some pretty amazing headlines that Patty has put together. And not only does she go out and research these things, and one of the first places that she goes is Complete Colorado, because Complete Colorado, they aggregate news from news sources all over the state. And so you'll see those headlines. But then also, if you click on the banner at the top, they have original content and really important journalism there. But she found this, and this was, let's see here, from KRDO down in Colorado Springs. It says the city council down in Colorado Springs approves an 8,000-seat stadium in downtown Colorado Springs. They gave their final approval Tuesday, November 12th, to build an 8,000-seat multi-use stadium in downtown. City Council President Richard Scorman, who is a downtown business owner himself, says the new venue will increase the city's sales tax revenue and attract more people to live near downtown. It's been the dream for a long time, and we're finally getting to that point where it's starting to really happen, Scorman said. All that will really help the economy. The stadium is expected to be completed in March of 2021. It's being funded primarily through the Colorado Springs Switchback soccer team and partner Widener Apartment Homes, a Seattle-based development company. Okay, let's just stop right there. That seems to be okay, right, Steve? Doesn't that seem to be okay?
The first time I read this thing, I'm familiar enough with the Springs to say, was this really needed?
But if people want to risk their own money, and if they want to build that, and, you know, I'm not sure whether or not the Switchback soccer team gets any taxpayer revenue, but let's say that they're totally private, and we have Widener Homes, apartment homes, and let's say they're totally private. Again, I'm going to give a caveat that they are not getting any low-income housing incentives or anything like that. So have that out there. So Okay. Let's say that they're totally capitalist. Okay?
So far, so good.
Next sentence. An additional state grant to increase tourism is also filling in the gaps for the project's budget. Then the next thing that Scorman says is, we won't be spending taxpayers' money on this, wanting to assure Colorado Springs residents. Bob Cope, the city's economic development officer, said the venue can accommodate for more than 15,000 people for larger events, including concerts and Olympic sporting events. He says the increased tourism will increase business and residential property value. If you're a business owner, especially if you're into the retail, restaurant, or bar business, I think it's going to be a huge, huge plus. But what did we just hear? In the same sentence up here, it says that they were going to be getting a state grant, that is state taxpayer money, to increase tourism in Colorado Springs, And then the city council president says we're not taking any taxpayers' money on this. That is a blatant falsehood from what I can tell on this article, Steve.
Well, go up another. You've already, you went through it. Go up a couple paragraphs there where he says increased tourism is additional state grant to increase tourism is also filling in the gaps. What gaps?
Right. And if you see the ultimate goal there is they want to increase the city's sales tax revenue. And why on earth should everybody else in Colorado be paying for Colorado Springs to increase their sales tax revenue? We wonder why our little towns in rural Colorado are struggling. And it's because people out there are paying taxes. And then we are seeing the people in Denver, for example, with the State Tourism Board, they're handing out taxpayer money to different municipalities. And it's just not fair that we take money from one person over here and then government gives it to another entity over here to, quote unquote, increase sales tax revenues in that particular city. If Colorado Springs wants to ask their residents that if they want to raise their own taxes to pay for that, that's one thing. But to actually be in one sentence saying we're not taking any government money and then in the next sentence saying that they are getting a state grant, it is disingenuous, if not dishonest. And Patty was all over this. She saw that. And, I think it was partly after we had gone through all of the corporate welfare as we were ramping up to Colorado, No on CC, as we started to unpack just how much of the gimmies that the state of Colorado has been giving out to big businesses, in this case a municipality, we realized that this just really isn't fair. And so when they make the case that they need more of everyday hardworking people's taxpayer money, the answer needs to be no. And on that point, I know that we're coming into Thanksgiving, we're coming into Christmas, but make no mistake, the PBIs, the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties are working now. They are meeting now to start to put together some kind of a ballot question next year to totally get rid of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. Now, we're shedding light on this, and so they may possibly pull back, but I don't think that they will. I think it's going to be an all-out assault. And so once again, if we're taking taxpayers' money to do something like this and we're picking winners and losers, then we need to make sure that we keep the spigot at least turned down a little bit and that we maintain Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, and protect it. Steve, your final thought, and we'll go to break.
Well, just to say that a story really lights Patty's fire when she puts a note at the very top because, she sends us this great package every day, but when she puts a specific note right at the top of the page in reference to one of the stories, she's on fire.
Yep, that's for sure. So let's go to break. When we come back, something very, very interesting happened, and that is with the Daniels Fund. And you won't want to miss this, so we'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation about something that is just amazing that I am so excited about. This is from chalkbeat.org, and it says, I used to be a proud Daniels Fund scholar. The new application draws criticism for questions about patriotism and capitalism. Now, Steve, I don't know how much you know about Bill Daniels, but he was really the father of the cable TV the cable industry. And he grew up, I think, in Greeley. He went to school at the New Mexico Military Institute. He was a decorated naval fighter pilot who served in World War II and Korea. He was an entrepreneur who started his first cable business in 1953. And he founded Daniels & Associates in 1958 and eventually owned and operated hundreds of cable television systems. He passed on in 2000, and he left a big, big amount of money to the Daniels Fund. And one of the things that was really important to him was that kids have an education. And so let's go ahead and talk about this. Linda Childers, who is the head of the Daniels Fund, she's the CEO. They've decided to ask some questions on their application form as students are applying for the Daniels Fund. And my understanding is that it's a full ride scholarship. I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing. And I think also that they're supposed to attend an educational institution here in Colorado. But what they have added on here is agree or disagree with these statements. Number one, government should decide how business profits are distributed. Number two, I don't feel much of an attachment to the USA. Number three, differences in social standing are incentive to work harder. It goes on to say in Chalkbeat, high school seniors from across the West seeking the prestigious Daniels Fund scholarships were asked to answer these and other questions on a newly designed application this year. Another question asked which flag evokes the strongest positive emotion, an American flag, Canadian flag, a burning American flag, or the Mexican flag. The application's contents provoked a strong reaction on social media Thursday and Friday, the scholarship application deadline. Some upset former recipients wondered whether the program has lost its way, and a foundation representative defended its rationale and values. Now, get this one. Remember, Candy Sitabaka was just recently elected to Denver City Council. She was also not even 6 months into the job when she was accused of nepotism when having the woman that she lived with get a cushy government job. So anyway, she goes on to say, Candy Sitabaka, I used to be a proud Daniels Fund scholar. Then I learned their politics and then was just grateful. Denver City Council member Candy Sitabaka wrote on Facebook and Twitter, I saw their 2019 scholarship application questions tonight after a student asked for a recommendation. And now I'm straight up appalled and determined to fight as hard as I can for free college, period. Now let's just talk about free college. Does that mean that the professors are going to work for free, Steve? Elizabeth Warren, did she work for free at Harvard? No.
400 and some odd thousand dollars for her time in the classroom.
So free college means that they take from, going back to our joke here, you're a radical progressive activist if you think that you can get rid of poverty with other people's money. You are a radical progressive activist, Democrat socialist, as Candy Sitabaka, if you think you can have free college, but you use it with other people's money. Now, bear in mind, she got a full ride scholarship from the Daniels Fund. Bill Daniels was a capitalist. He was creative. He was innovative. His cable systems and people traded their hard-earned dollars, you know, for the services that he provided because they felt that it made their lives better, and he got rich on that. And then when he passed on, he left his money to the Daniels Fund because he felt education was so important. And then you go on to read this here. Candy Sitabaka went on to say that she says the application screens low-income teen applicants to make sure they are patriotic enough to believe being poor is their fault. Really? I mean, that makes no sense. Continuing on, Daniels Fund CEO Linda Childers told Chalkbeat on Friday that the Denver-based foundation has always had the same focus on leadership, character, capitalism, and patriotism. But after reevaluating the program this year, the board decided to put a finer point on it in response to what she described as general anti-business sentiment in the country. Childers said that Bill made his money in business. He flew in two wars defending America. Patriotism was not a soft thing for him. We need to make sure we're giving Bill's money to kids he would be proud of. Next, the Daniel Scholarship Program has provided more than $188 million in undergraduate scholarships to more than 4,100 students from Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, Wyoming, and Wyoming over the last 20 years. The scholarships cover 4 years of college at any accredited nonprofit college or university and can be life-changing for low-income students. So apparently I was incorrect on saying it had to be Colorado. And the money comes from the estate of cable television billionaire Bill Daniels. The program website describes Daniel Scholars as honest, respectful, self-reliant, and compassionate. They are proud Americans who value our free enterprise system and are prepared to give the world their very best shot. I would like to give a shout out to Linda Childers for taking a stand on this. I think it's been a slow, incremental movement. We've seen it in many nonprofits that have taken those that have really believed in the American idea. They've left money to educate students. And Steve, if you think about that $188 million, a lot of that money has gone to left-wing professors that do not like America, that are shutting down free speech on our college campuses. And we've got to stop funding that with patriotic Americans' money. And quite frankly, there is no way that the Patriots and George Washington would have won the Revolutionary War if our guys were using their money to fund the ideology of the Brits and to fund the British in this battle. And we're in a battle of ideas. Steve, your comment.
We need a whole hour just to take this one story apart. There is so much wrong here. And again, Sid Ibaka is sending an incredibly mixed message. I'm not sure. Maybe it's by design. Maybe she's trying to legitimately confuse people.
You know, I wonder what her degree was in. I'm going to see if I can find that quick-like.
Probably bovine.
Now watch it.
Well, I mean, okay, go back to that first statement of hers. I used to be a proud Daniels Fund scholar. Then I learned their politics and then was just grateful. What the heck does that mean?
Well, quite frankly, you know, she probably should have known what their politics were before that. And if she was grateful, then I think that she would be protective of the American idea. But instead, here she is on city council in, I'm seeing if I can find it here, in Denver. And within 6 months, she was accused of nepotism by having the woman that she lived with get a cushy government job. And, you know, so it's absolutely amazing to me. Let me see if I can find it. I don't think that I'll try to look that up. Let's do one other quick headline before we get to Jason. There was one. Oh, this is the one I wanted to get to, Steve. And that is, we've talked about it before, but the radical activists are coming after your gas range. Did you see that?
No, you're going to take me down this path again. I've already, you know, shared and enriched everyone's lives with my opinion on going after my gas range.
So this is USA Today. It says, fix global warming or cook dinner on a gas stove. And we've mentioned this, but I just wanted to mention it again. That's the choice for people in 13 cities and one county in California that have enacted new zoning codes encouraging or requiring all electric new construction. The codes, most of them passed since June, are meant to keep builders from running natural gas lines to new homes and apartments with an eye toward creating fewer legacy gas hookups as the nation shifts to carbon-neutral energy sources. For proponents, it's a change that must be made to fight climate change. For natural gas companies, it's a threat to their existence. And for some cooks who love to prepare food with flame, it is unthinkable loss. Now, let's just think about it. Am I crazy, or do I just remember that didn't California just shut off the electricity for over, 2 million people? I mean, how are you going to cook your food if you don't have electricity and you're being forced? When we look at force versus freedom, they're using public policy to force people into one particular energy source, which is not even reliable in California.
Well, you're going to do the same thing, that you do when you drive your car, your electric car. You're going to be creative. And just like Jason suggested last week, maybe the emergency apparatus is also electric in California. So you could be hurting.
That's for sure. Before we go to Jason, Susan Kochevar texted me this, Steve. Oh, my gosh, you must have paid her. She said, Steve is very astute. These communists do seek to confuse by sending mixed messages. And that is why we do this show, is to try to bring clarity to these messages. And speaking of a guy with a lot of clarity about economic prosperity for everyday individuals, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Kim. As always, thanks for having me. You know, as we get close to the end of the year, sometimes it can be a decent time for bargain hunting, Kim. Normally, if I'm buying a stock that I'm hoping will grow over time or be a big winner, I don't like to operate in the junk pile, so to speak, with stuff that's way down. But when you get to the end of the year, it can kind of be a magic time for that, because you can have stocks that have been a little bit weak all year that maybe have good fundamentals, they have good earnings, but people start to unload them at the end of the year just to create tax losses, and that can cause the price to kind of come down artificially. And once that pressure comes off, oftentimes the stock will recover a little bit. So this, again, this may not be the best place to search for your long-term darling, powerful growth stocks that you plan to hold forever and ever, but it can be a strategy sometimes that could be successful to make a, you know, kind of a shorter term trade and make a few bucks. And there's nothing wrong with making a few bucks.
There's nothing wrong with that. As free market capitalists, as Americans, actually being able to create wealth for oneself is a uniquely American. Well, it's not uniquely American, but it has been really a great thing for everyday hardworking people, middle class. A vibrant middle class is something that is kind of unique to the American idea, Jason, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think our founders certainly made it more of a upfront and important part of the fabric of our country than a lot of other places did. I will say that.
Very, very well done to answer to that particular thing. So, I mean, I can't believe, Jason, that we are in mid-November, and as we're talking about these strategies moving into December, you know, next week will be Thanksgiving. I mean, it's time to go ahead and be thinking about this, and would highly encourage people to reach out to you just to sit down and do a discovery session on all these things, because you really work to help people optimize their own economic well-being.
Well, and there's no better time than today to make a positive step forward, especially, you know, if you're having some concerns right now or doubts right now, if you're doing the right thing. One thing we're really good at, Kim, is if you're on the right track, we're not going to try to make up some reason that you should come and move your money to us or do business with us. If you're doing the right thing, we'll say, hey, this looks pretty darn good, and leave it at that. And if you still want to work with us, that's great. But I don't believe that we try to create artificial problems or concerns that don't exist just to try to get people in the door to do business. That doesn't feel very honest to me.
Well, and I know that that's not the way you do business. And as we're coming into Thanksgiving, Jason McBride, very grateful for our partnership. And if people want to reach out to you, Melanie will be at the switchboard at...
Melanie?
I mean... Hold on. I just
we
had
get a new receptionist.
I just
did Natalie get fired?
No. I don't know what happened
Goodness
to me. Give Natalie a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Tell her to forgive me, Jason. I am so embarrassed.
Oh, I'm going to tell her what you said and tell her you did it on purpose.
I did not.
I want to see a cat fight.
Oh, okay.
Know?
Okay. So, yeah. No, give Natalie a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. My apologies. I am having a Monday morning, Jason. That's all I can say. So.
Well, you had one yesterday, too. It's Tuesday now.
Could you give me a little slack? Wouldn't that
you
be a nice thing?
You need to move on.
Okay, I'll move on. So, okay, speaking of that, we're going to move on. Jason, you have a great day.
You too, Kim.
Okay, and we will be talking with David Limbaugh when we come back. This is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having important conversations about these issues that we need to be getting our brains around. We are coming into 2020. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is next week. Christmas is right around the corner, and we will have one of the most important election cycles in the history of America. And thrilled to have on the line with me author, political commentator David Limbaugh. He's written a new book, Guilty by Reason of Insanity, Why the Democrats Must Not Win. David Limbaugh, welcome to the Kim Munson Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a very important book that you have written, and it's for sale now, obviously. David Limbaugh, why did you write this book?
Well, the first five books I wrote were political books, and then I shifted to Christian-themed books for the next four. And my publisher said when I approached them about finishing this New Testament series, would you go back to a political book because this is such an urgent time, the 2020 election? I said, yes, I agree it is. I will. And so I decided to write this political book because I really do believe, like my publisher, that we face an existential threat in the United States. And as extreme as it might sound for me to say that, I think it is within the bowels of the Democratic Party, which has now become a wholly owned subsidiary of the extreme political left. So we face this threat, and if we do not beat it back, if we do not reelect Donald Trump and recapture control of both branches of the Congress, I think we are going to risk our kids inheriting a totally different kind of America than what we inherited, and it horrifies me.
Well, David Limbaugh, one of the things that I say is the Democrat Party of today is not the Democrat Party of JFK, but yet I think the Democrat Party tries to confuse people to make them make folks think that they like America, that they are the party of JFK. But then when you look at the actual narrative, you look at the policies, they don't match up. How do we address that with that everyday hardworking person out there that all they're getting is all of this, these headlines? They don't know what to do with it. How do we address that?
Well, interestingly, not all Democrats even pretend anymore to love America. Unless you challenge them on it, then they'll say it. However, all of their policies betray their true feelings. And the way we address it, to me, is by going out and communicating with Americans, whether it's in my position as a pundit or yours as a talk show host, do I write? I write columns. I write these books. And the reason I wrote this book is to provide ammunition for our side to go out and talk to people, especially young people who have fallen into the seductive allure of liberalism and its false promises of compassion and prosperity and fairness. And so I think this book will help arm people like me and you and others to really take the argument to young people and other people who have been duped by the false promises of liberalism.
Well,
we have to get in the fight. I want to be clear. We can't just stand back and act like, oh, this will pass. This is just another ebb and flow. This is just another swing of the pendulum. Everything always balances itself. No, it doesn't. The left is relentless. They never stop. They're on the job 24/7. They don't breathe. Unfortunately, we're not going to be allowed to breathe. We have to fight them every day, every minute.
Well, and David Limbaugh, that is what is so unique, I think, about Donald Trump, is that he doesn't really give an inch. And we've actually seen, you know, people on both sides of the aisle that have gone after him. I was on my way in today. I was thinking that, you know, about the conversation that we were going to have. And I was thinking about Mitt Romney. You know, when Mitt Romney ran for president, it was when I was first starting to get involved. I'd been more and more concerned about the direction of our country. My kids were coming home from school, you know, saying things that were antithetical to the American idea and to my values. And so it was at that time I started to get and become involved. And so I made calls for Mitt Romney. I you know, waved signs. It was my first foray into all of this. And I am really disheartened by his particular response to Donald Trump. And I was also thinking about John McCain. I certainly, you know, honor his service in the military. However, the fact that he did the thumbs down or thumbs up, whichever way it was, but that put through Obamacare, that was something that also hurt the American people. So I've been disappointed in those two guys.
Well, I am particularly more than disappointed with Mitt Romney, who I helped and who we put our faith in. And he even laid down on the job when we were trying to support him. He let Obama walk all over him after he beat him in one of those debates.
Right.
I guess he was feeling bad. He's so proper that he cares more about creases in his pants and eloquent speech than he does fighting for America. I've been particularly disappointed with him. And John McCain, we all feel guilty even saying anything bad about him because he was a hero. But that gets a little tiring, too, because that doesn't – heroes aren't gods. People that went through war, tough war experiences, aren't immunized from the consequences of what they say and what they do. And John McCain did cause Obamacare to go through. And he did do a lot of things that undermined the causes I believe in. But I don't care, McCain, that's over. I don't hold grudges or whatever. It's not. But the point is, these guys set a template that says we need to reach across the aisle and have kumbaya and have drinks with the liberals while they're destroying the country. And I don't think that's a virtue. I don't think it's a virtue to go around for the sake of other people thinking you're just a wonderful civil person and not doing what you need to do. Sometimes it takes courage to fight these people when you don't necessarily look good. Yes, you should be civil and polite to the extent that you can, but you cannot understate the gravity of the threats we face. And these guys care obviously more. These never-Trumpers care more about appearances and all gestures toward civility. And I might add, if you'll notice, the never so nasty themselves, and they're so judgmental, and they conclude that we have all sold out, that we are not real conservatives, and yet we're supporting the guy who's advancing conservative agenda more than anybody in my lifetime since Ronald Reagan, and he's really doing it effectively. I don't care if you agree with every position he takes, but by and large, he's done an amazing job. And like you say, he doesn't give an inch. And that's important because if you give an inch, they will take advantage. This is a sinister thing we're facing. This is a sinister threat we're facing. A lot of it has spiritual warfare components. I know that'll make me sound like a kook, but I cannot explain it in any other way. How do you get grown people in the United States who are supposedly reasonable and moral supporting abortion on demand through the point of birth and beyond? Open borders, socialism, which has killed 100 million people in the 20th century, impoverished and enslaved. They stand for everything the United States against is for. And we just cannot take this lightly.
Well, and David Limbaugh, we're going to go to break here in just a minute and hold you through the break and continue on. But something that I am grateful for is that the veil is now off. That's something that happened with Donald Trump is he ripped it open. That we saw, you know, on one hand, they'd say, I love America, and then you'd see all these policies that didn't love America. And everyday people are going, wait a minute, you say you love America, and I appreciate that, but then it kind of doesn't make sense. Well, Donald Trump comes in, and he opens the whole thing up. And I think that that's something that I'm actually grateful for, because at least we now know what it is that we're fighting.
You know, I already knew, but I'm glad that they've come out of the closet so that it's obvious and other people cannot reasonably deny it.
Well, that is for sure. Let's go to break and let's continue on this book that you have written, Guilty by Reason of Insanity, Why the Democrats Must Not Win. Let's go to break, and when we come back, let's continue the conversation with author, political commentator David Limbaugh. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, where we have important conversations. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me David Limbaugh. He is an author, political commentator. New book is Guilty by Reason of Insanity, Why the Democrats Must Not Win. David Limbaugh, I agree with you that we are in the fight for our country. One of the other things that I do is I have a show where I've interviewed over 100 World War II veterans. And as I look at what they did to put everything on the line to stand against tyranny and evil, we are in a different kind of a battle. But again, we are standing against tyranny and evil as well. And so we are at a time that we need to engage in this battle of ideas. But in order to do that, we need to understand the issues. We need to be calm, cool, collected, and be able to, you know, engage in a very effective manner. It looks to me like your book is a great tool to make that happen.
Oh, I hope so, and I appreciate that. You're right. Most great empires fall from within, and the United States has been subject to a brutal attack from inside, from within its bowels, for decades now. And the left is now, as we mentioned and agreed, out in the open, and you can see their extreme views for what they are. Now, Obama, this is an interesting little twist. Obama brought this into warp speed after we'd seen an incremental advance of liberalism for decades. Obama came along and said he wants to fundamentally transform America. Now, he had said that he had cautioned his people, to, by his people, I mean liberals, to be patient. We can we can transition into single-payer, full-blown socialized medicine, starting out slowly. So it starts with Obamacare. It fails. Then, as usual, socialists, they introduce a little bit of government and then more government. It fails. They blame it on capitalism and demand full-blown socialism. Now Obama, after having wrecked the health care system and brought on same-sex marriage and done a lot of things that we don't, the conservatives don't agree with, he is now cautioning his fellow leftists who are leading the party now to quit being so radical and to be more moderate. But everybody's applauding him on our side. How quickly we forget. I wrote two books about Obama and the things he did. There is no way I am convinced that he is opposed what these leftists now are trying to do and what they're saying. He just is trying to get them to be more pragmatic and to get back in the closet and pretend to be moderate so they can get elected. And then they can come back full force and complete his sought-after fundamental transformation of America. But that's what they're about. And whether I'm right about Obama or not, the leaders in the party are definitely in that direction.
Well, I think they're going to have a really difficult time putting that horse back in the barn. Because the veil is off, and Donald Trump, one of the things that he does is he continues to kind of poke the bear on that as well. And for some reason, then they have to continue to, you know, engage. So in some ways, I find it brilliant. And of course, there's people who say, oh, I wish he wouldn't tweet. I wish he wouldn't say this. He wouldn't say that. Actually, I kind of appreciate the fact that he is willing to go out there and fight. Let's address something, though, David. I was flying back from San Francisco this weekend and was sitting, having a bite to eat, and ended up talking to the person next to me. And he said, so we're talking about politics. And he said, I don't really like Trump. And that's kind of the cool thing to do is like, oh, I don't really like Trump. And I said, well, you know, I really like a lot of the things he's doing, you know, the lowering in rules and regulations, lowering taxes. He goes, yes, I know. And he said, and if it's between Donald Trump and a communist socialist, I will vote for Donald Trump. And I thought that was progress in a way. What's your thoughts on that, David?
It is progress. But I will tell you this, the flip side of that coin is, and I give this in answer to the question that interviewers asked me, well, why will Democrats still vote for these socialists? And my answer is that their leaders have done, and their activists have done such a successful job in demonizing conservatives as racist and class warfare, as rich people who only care about the rich, who hate women, and that's why we want to regulate abortion. We're evil people, uncompassionate. And so the voters say, well, my choice is between Donald Trump and conservatives who are evil in socialism. I'm going to pick socialism because these people are so evil. So that's the battle we face. I think we have to disabuse, and this is partly in supplement to your earlier question, disabuse voters, especially young people and those in the middle, whatever remains of us. We are not racist, but these are a bunch of lies, and we have to confront these issues directly. I know we're told, don't be defensive, don't even take on this issue of racism, but we have to, because 60% of Democrats believe conservatives, by virtue of their conservatism, are racist. I mean, it's just, it's phenomenal. So, yes, I'm heartened by the phenomenon that you report, but I think there's that other side, and there's an opening for us to counter it. I think Donald Trump's doing Kanye West comes out in support of him. Other people, other black families are realizing that the leftist Democratic Party values are contrary to their values. They also realize that Donald Trump's policies are consistent with uplifting them out of poverty and out of unemployment and increasing their standard of living. And I love seeing that. And we need to have those things translate into minority votes. And once we get there, the Democrats are in a world of hurt, because if you just convert a few percentage of minority votes into Republican votes, that will make a phenomenal difference.
Well, and to that, David, I have a number of different women's groups that we meet on a regular basis, again, just to kick the ideas on kick the tires on these ideas and get our brains around the narrative on this. And I have a number of friends that are Hispanic that have immigrated from South America, and they are some of the most staunch supporters of Donald Trump that I know. And so I take a great heart in that as well. And like you're mentioning, if just a few percentage points, both in the Black community and in the Hispanic community, vote for Donald Trump, then, I think he wins the election, which that brings us to what is going on now. Why on earth would there be impeachment proceedings 1 year out when there's going to be an election, unless the radical progressive activists that have taken over the Democrat Party are not very, very concerned that Donald Trump will be reelected?
That's absolutely true. And they also want to undermine him and keep him from tending to business during the last year. This is a political calculation. They know, they're almost certain that they're not going to succeed in removing him from office. But they think they can stain him enough to affect the 2020 outcome. And they got interfering with an election. They're abusing this process. They know this is not an impeachable offense. Ever since Trump was installed in office, and the shift from the Russia Trump hoax to Ukraine on a time when the report got slammed in their face, and so they're not trusted on any of this. And this is a raw political calculation. I think it's a mistake. I think they've I think it's going to backfire. But it's so close, and there are so many people on our side, supposedly, who aren't on our side. There's so many Never Trumps out there. There's so many so-called Republicans that are all over the network slamming Trump, saying it really is a quid pro quo, that we're the ones who have betrayed our principles. So, again, it just increases the stakes. It makes us have to fight harder. But I think ultimately we are going to win this re-election for Donald Trump. But we can't rest until that day.
Well, and I totally agree with you as we are looking into 2020 on that. One thing, and this is, as I was having a conversation with this gentleman at the airport, he said, well, yeah, I really, like the fact that he lowered taxes. I like the fact that he's reducing rules and regulations. But we need to do something about the deficit, and we need to do something about the debt. And I'm like, I totally, totally agree. However, all these people, in Congress now and in Washington, D.C., all these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties who are now opining that, oh, my gosh, we have this huge debt. We need to do something about it. And they're laying it at Donald Trump's feet when they are the people that have been in Congress, that they have been, the bureaucrats there that have been there for 30 some years, and they haven't done a flipping thing about it. And now they want to lay that at Donald Trump's feet. And I think if he gets reelected, I think that he will start to go to work to take a bite out of that, because it is immoral for us to think that we are going to pass on that kind of debt to the next generation. Your thoughts,
yeah.
David?
Yeah, my thoughts are exactly what you said. And let me add to this. I think that any Republican who has tried to push for entitlement reform, and by the way, this debt has almost everything to do with entitlement reform. So much of a percentage of our budget goes to these entitlements, and we know we have to fix them, but every time we tried, Paul Ryan tried, they demonize you as you're trying to push granny over the cliff. They don't care about people. You're trying to steal people's earnings. The truth is they are trying to do it. They are brazenly attempt, and I have no doubt, well, I do have some doubt, but I am confident, cautiously optimistic, that when Donald Trump gets reelected, there's no way he could win reelection if he focused on that issue, because Democrats are such demagogues. It is amazing to me that we're doing this to ourselves. I really believe Trump will come around like he had on almost every other issue, and he'll start this debt and tackle entitlements when he's no longer running for re-election. There's no way he could have. The Democrats wouldn't have allowed it. I have to admit, Trump didn't campaign on it, and he talked about saving Social Security and all that, but he's learned so much, and he's learned so much about the heart of the Democrats since he's been in office, And I believe his heart's in the right place. I think he's logical. I think he will see this existential threat, i.e. the debt, which, by the way, is going to happen. We're going to have a reckoning, whether it's through involuntary the way it occurs or whether we choose to do something about it. And I believe we will. Just like you, I really believe we're going to. But if we don't win this election, we won't do something about it. What's going to happen is they're going to end up confiscating the property of people and the wealth of people. These are socialists. They're not worried about this debt because if they control the government, eventually they'll be able to unconstitutionally totally wipe out the debt by transferring assets. You think that sounds extreme? It's happened throughout the world. The Democrats are leftists, like the same kind of philosophy and ideology who run these tyrannical dictatorships. Don't think that they don't have that in mind to take your 401k. They do. They will.
Right. And there is such a disdain for the vibrant middle class, which is inherent to the American idea. Take a look at San Francisco. It's the haves and the have-nots. And it's in some areas it's like a third world country, and that is not what Americans aspire to. We are better than that. So David Limbaugh, author of Guilty by Reason of Insanity: Why the Democrats Must Not Win. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Most definitely. And our quote for today is Montesquieu. Steve says there is no greater tyranny than that which is perpetrated under the shield of the law and in the name of justice. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new